Hello, and welcome to Bricks and Mortar with Sarah Jackman. Today I'm joined by Terry Watts, CEO of the Chartered Surveyors Training Trust, an organisation founded in the 1980s with the intention of promoting diversity in the profession. While initially focusing on offering apprenticeships, the organisation has since refocused on new initiatives, and this week launches My Environment, My Future, a schools programme promoting the built environment and careers within it to those taking GCSE geography in participating schools. Today we discuss the motivation for launching this scheme and the results that the Trust hopes to see from it. Good morning, Terry. Thanks very much indeed for joining me today.
Morning, Sarah. Thank you for having me.
Terry, many of our listeners will be familiar with the Chartered Surveyors Training Trust, but for those that aren't, can you give me a bit of background in terms of what the organisation does?
Yes, well, as you say, it's been around for a while, and it was set up by the Worshipful Company of Chartered Surveyors back in the 80s to try and make the surveying sector more diverse. And it did that in a number of ways over the years, and we still do some of those things. So we do, if people have particular barriers to entry, usually financial or opportunity type barriers, we do our best to help them anyway. And it focused on apprenticeships for many years, but with the apprenticeships becoming more mainstream provision now, and universities having a degree level apprenticeship offer, decided a few years ago that the Trust was overstretching itself, really, and I think the government bodies didn't really like a third party intervening in apprenticeships who didn't actually do the training themselves. So we stopped doing that now, and we are focused on a new set of initiatives. My Environment, My Future, as you mentioned, is the GCSE geography initiative, and we also provide help and advice. So we help some students who are identified as having dyslexia with getting that diagnosis properly so they can be given the right support. And we are moving into trying to match up candidates with employers. It's all gone a bit wrong with the COVID. It's kind of delayed our ambitions a little bit. One of the things the CSTT was really good at was finding candidates and matching them up with typically smaller employers who don't necessarily have all the HR backup that some of the bigger companies do to find good candidates. So we worked on doing that over the years previously before I joined, I have to say. And the reputation that the CSTT has got for that and the service they provided, I'm trying to reinvent now with some social enterprise type recruiters and working with smaller companies, initially in East London and South Yorkshire, hoping to move around the country later on. But we had planned to kick that off in September, but with most people not recruiting or delaying decisions and all sorts of complications in trying to get that set up now, I'm looking to do that early in the new year, in 2021.
So the priority now then is obviously the launch of your schools programme. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yes, well, the reason for picking on a schools programme, and I think one of the things people will probably say is, but there's loads of schools programmes out there. And yes, there are, but that's partly why we need this one, because most of them are very targeted on specific areas, geographic areas, or specific people in different situations. And so what we have got is a programme which is aimed at, it's got fairly simple objective of making young people and teachers, to be honest, and actually their parents as well, aware that the built environment, not just construction, but the built environment is a sector that is one of the biggest in the UK economy, 3.2 million people. It's one of the sectors where the average salary is second only to that in the financial services sector, and trying to change the image, really. If you talk about construction, people think about like the chaps who did a great job of my extension here at home a couple of years ago, working in February in the snow and the mud, digging holes and getting very dirty, and they were swearing a lot and they were smoking, and it wasn't really didn't appeal to my at the time 11 and 9 year old daughters as a career direction for them. But actually, we all know that there's a huge amount more to the built environment than that. And because of the image that projected by construction, when we talk about construction, people don't see that. So I'm trying to lead a change to the name. So built environment is what it needs to be called from now on. And it's the whole thing, the area where we live, we work, we entertain ourselves, go to school, hospital, everything most of us do, even if we're driving, it's all part of the built environment. And there's some tremendous careers in there, ranging from doing the digging out and the laying foundations, but also the design, the architectural, planning, environmental, sustainability, then, of course, the management, sales and resale and all those sorts of property type angles as well on the environment. And it's so important to society that we do that well, because it affects mental health, it affects people's sense of belonging. and their pride in their community. And so it's absolutely vital we get that right. And you can't do that unless you've got a workforce that reflects the diversity of the society you're serving. So that's what we're trying to do. And so picked on GCSE geography because a lot of children do that every year. There's about 216,000 was the last numbers I had of youngsters who did GCSE geography in 1 year. And so it's a mainstream delivery. There are modules within every syllabus which covers the urban environment in some way or other. And so we've taken an elements of that with the support of heads of geography, and we've done three iterations of the material on the first pilot year to make sure we get it as good as we can. And the idea is that by teaching the existing curriculum with some resources we provide, we introduce the idea that this is all part of the built environment, and we put embed in the delivery links to careers materials and case studies of young professionals working or other people, all sorts of people, but mostly young people, so you can be relatable, working in the built environment so the youngsters can see that it's there and it's for them. We get these teachers to choose a local case study, so they aren't studying something which is hundreds of miles away. The plan is, once we can, but for now we're doing virtual site visits to try and actually get a local site where youngsters can go and see what they're working on and what the built environment effect can have for them. And they can start to look at what the pilot school we did was, it's a small town, the main hotel had become derelict, been there for 3 years, right in the centre of a tourist town, and they picked that as their case study. They were able to visit it and work out what the community needed in terms of resources, whether it was another hotel, shopping centre. Being youngsters, they thought there was more needed for young people, and I think they're probably right. And they were able to design solutions and consider the environment before they started, the remediation needed doing, and then the way they would build it, how sustainable that would be, the business model, the property elements, and all that sort of stuff. So we really take the whole life cycle of the built environment and dip them into the whole thing as far as we can in six lessons. And then the teachers don't need any particular skills to be able to do that other than being a teacher and teaching geography. They can do that, they can do this. And we've committed this year, and I'm hoping with the support of RICS, who are backing us, we can continue to commit to getting a young surveyor along to the school to chat to the youngsters and explain their experiences. This year we're doing it virtually, so we are recording lots of young qualified surveyors, because we are focusing on surveying the first time just because that's where we've come from. I'm hoping to expand it to other parts of the built environment too, but for this year it's just surveying, and that's a broad enough sector really. And then having had the input from the young people, the school and the students are invited to enter a competition, and to enter the competition all they have to do is to make a PowerPoint presentation or a video of their experience and their ideas for the site that they've chosen to look at, and wrap that up and tell us what they think of it. And the best entries will be judged by some employers, and we'll award prizes, and that'll be in the form of cash for some of the students. That really does motivate them. But also the idea is that we'll help to form relationships between a surveying company and a local school. And we are hoping to get, and I hope it will still work out now, visits to some of the more iconic sites. So get a school trip down to Crossrail or HS2, mm-hmm. I'd love to go and see the work they're doing on the tower in Parliament, Big Ben around there, to see what's going up there. But something more iconic, more substantial, and something that will inspire people local-ish to them.
Yeah. And you mentioned a pilot scheme. What was the feedback from the pilots that you've done?
It was really encouraging, actually. I mean, we were very lucky in that I managed to get the questionnaire out to the youngsters about 4 weeks before we planned to send it, on the day before they were sent home after lockdown. So we just managed to get it in there. We had, before we did the course, 6% of them said they had a good view of the built environment. At the end of it, 90% felt they had a good understanding of the importance of the built environment. And before, there were 3% were looking to follow a career in the built environment. At the end, 60% said they would consider a career in the built environment. So it hit the nail on the head, really. We were able to introduce the idea and the concept of working and delivering, because the thing you've got to remember is that, and you know, a lot of us got children, as far as they're concerned, the world they were born and brought up in has remained pretty much the same for their lives. They don't realize that actually someone designed the houses over the road and decided to put the leisure center where they did, and where we needed a bridge over a river. Someone decided that, planned it, look at the environmental impact and the social impacts of that. They don't realize those things because they don't change that quickly in most places. So what we did is we introduced them to the idea there are things and people do jobs in this, And they aren't just the jobs you see on site. There's lots of other jobs you can do, and they're really interesting. And that really made them, opened their eyes to lots of things. And in fact, even there are only 75 youngsters in the pilot, and two or three of them now approached me for work experience and more knowledge, and how do I get into surveying as a result of it. So really encouraged. And we've actually improved the materials since then, so I'm hoping that it'll be even better next time.
And what was the sort of anecdotal feedback on the day when you were actually doing the local example and looking at a project? Did people really come to life and really start grasping all of these concepts?
They really did. They got very excited, actually. It was quite it made it very real for them, because the schools were able to actually walk to the site where they were covering, because it was local to them. And it was very personal. I was lucky enough to go to one of the schools and hear from the youngsters just before lockdown again. We managed to get a lot in before, in that last week, when they were feeding back on what they'd understood and what they'd found. And they started to talk about what their entries for the competition were going to be. And they were really passionate about it, because it wasn't just a bit of work they had to do because the course required them to do it. This was their town they were talking about. This was their environment they were talking about. And they really felt strongly about it. And their enthusiasm for it was really, really palpable, actually. And I had some a surveyor from Gleeds along with me, and we split the cast into two and both went round both halves. And we both really amazed at how much they'd taken on and how much they'd effort they put into it, because they didn't. They actually finished the competition after the lockdown, so they were working with each other over Zoom and stuff to get their entries together. And it was really good to see the enthusiasm for it in such a short space of time.
Yeah, it's a really nice way, actually, of enthusing people to put it into context and to give it, you know, the local sort of context and background.
Yeah, it was great. It was really good. And that's why we designed it that way, but it worked better than I'd anticipated, I have to say.
You mentioned, I think, 216,000 people taking GCSE geography. Is that right?
Yes.
Are you hoping to reach a certain proportion of that this year and then build on that over subsequent years?
Thank you for that. You reminded me, one of the key design points for this competition when we started is, if you look at the built environment more widely, there's a huge skills shortage there. The CITB, just for the construction bit, were forecasting 168,000 new jobs in the next 3 to 5 years in just the construction bit. And there's more than that. And since then, we've been affected by COVID, and we all know that when the industry takes a dive, as it did do, not everybody comes back, so there'll probably be more skills gaps there. Then there's also the fact that Brexit wasn't included in that, and the government have announced lots of investment in infrastructure, and we'll see what comes of that, because they've had to spend a lot of money on maintaining COVID. But the problem we've got is that there's a huge requirement for skills and people in the sector, and most of the programs target relatively small, narrow areas. So, and I won't mention names, but some of the bodies that you would think are some of the bigger bodies have congratulated themselves on reaching 100 schools with doing something, which is, you know, that's not easy to do, but that's 0.3% of the available resource. So there are 3,500-ish schools, secondary schools in England, and they've reached, you know, a very small fraction of that. That's not good enough. We've got to fix this for the whole of the education system. We need an industrial scale program. So for my ambition is, for this coming year, this is our first year, we're hoping to get to 100 schools. Now we're working on that now. And then by 3 years, I want to get 500 schools. And then in 5 years, I'd like to get 1,500 to 2,000. So we're doing half the schools. And I'm hoping actually we'll get to everybody. And once we've got a bit of momentum, I'm hoping to go to the awarding bodies themselves. We've mapped the course and the modules we offer, the lessons we offer, to the 4 or 5 different GCSEs there are out there. But hopefully the awarding bodies can start to point to our materials and start to use it as well as part of the sort of the way they want to deliver the courses as well, to get that enthusiasm going. But the idea is we have an industrial scale program that reaches as many as possible across the young people every year, rather than, and even if they don't come, and they're not all want to go and join the sector, obviously, but just to have a better appreciation of the environment that they live in and how it's their environment will be good for society anyway, I think. So that's what I need to do.
And how many schools have you currently got signed up?
We're struggling, to be honest. The most difficult part of doing these things, I've done a few schools programs before, is getting into the schools. Teachers are always swamped with offers of help and ideas and programs like the one that we're trying to promote. I do understand that. So we had a plan to do that, and we have We've employed an organisation called My Kind of Future, who help us. They're experts in engaging with schools. We were doing really well. We've got about 10 or 15 actually signed up now. We need to get to 100, and we're probably about a month behind where we would like to be. The problem we have is that most schools are about a month behind where they'd like to be. And knowing I've got two young daughters at school myself, the school system has been very focused on just getting the kids back into work. So we've got a new push coming. I don't know when this is going out, but at the end of September, there's a new push going out now with some new materials to try and engage teachers, because now the things that certainly at the schools my kids go to, it's not working out as difficult as they thought it was going to be. Certainly the children are much more relaxed than they thought they would be. And we'll see how it goes. But I believe teachers are beginning to say, OK, now we've got them back. Now we need to work out a bit more about how we're going to do some of this stuff. And we're hoping that our materials will actually make it easier for them to do things with the youngsters going forward. So it's about 10 or so now. Got a long way to go. I hope to be at 30 or 40 by this stage. But if anyone out there can help us, it's really the big issue is getting into the inbox and getting someone to click on the link. And that's, we're doing that. We've got about 170 schools have actually shown interest. Then it's the personal contact to secure the engagement with the materials and actually putting it into their lesson plans. And that's the difficult bit. So if there are people out there who've got a link with the school and they would like to try and form those links, then that's fine. There's no cost to anyone in the programme. It's all free. The CSTT are paying for it, and we hope to maintain that. And I'm hoping to get other worshipful companies and professional bodies to help contribute to the cost. There'll be no cost to the school at all. That's one of the design criteria. And employers can sponsor, but no cost to them if they don't have the money to pay for it. No one needs any training to do it. It's all common sense to the employers and within the curriculum for the teachers. So there's no barriers there. Okay. And we're also not making it easy for ourselves, because CSTT is about people who are furthest from the sector. So we've targeted the cold spots. If you go to some places in London, you'll find that there's employers and professional bodies and programs queuing up to get into schools. And other places, and not away from London or in rural parts, where they've never had an approach. And we're targeting the colder spots there where they haven't usually been serviced. So we're making it hard for ourselves as well. But that's what we're here to do, to help those furthest from the workplace.
Okay. And when you say there are particular areas that you're targeting, are there any specific geographic areas that you're pinpointing first?
We've got a list of areas. It's we are doing some parts of London, the Midlands. We're doing quite a lot around the Midlands and the Northwest and the Southwest primarily. But it doesn't, we don't, if anyone wants to come to us and say we'd like to run it in anywhere you like, doesn't need state school, private school, because really it's about trying to change the perception of a whole sector. We just are investing our resources in getting to those people who are furthest from the workplace. Yeah. What anyone who wants to run anywhere would be very welcome to do so.
Okay. And once you've completed a course in a particular school, if you then have a follow up from a pupil who's interested, potentially, you know, their interest has been piqued in the built environment, in what ways are you able then to support them through to the next steps?
Yeah, we're working on how we present that. I know what they can do now. So there's all sorts of routes, choosing the right GCSEs if you plan to go on and do a degree, a sort of a degree that's RICS registered, for example, or if you want to go to a level 3 or level 6 apprenticeship. So we're working on those things. And I was giving some advice over the weekend to some youngsters who do exactly want to do that. So that's working. So I'm pleased with that. I need to make that more attractive and more. I can't do that all myself once we get a large volume. So we need to work on making that more of an infographic. But it's very important to get it right. And so I'm just sort of working on it for every individual and see how it goes. Some of the routes that we are hoping to signpost people to are, because I mentioned there's lots of schools programs. So RICS, for example, and the Urban Land Initiative do similar kind of programs, which are really high quality, intensive sessions where they get groups of 20 or so youngsters to help design and redevelop a town centre. And it's brilliant. It's all IT enabled. It's very, very sophisticated, very good. I've actually been a tutor in one of those to find out what it's about. Not all schools can afford that. They can't afford to deliver it to all schools. So I'm hoping that we'll find that we can signpost the schools and the youngsters who are interested into that kind of provision. Equally, there are people like Moby. I don't know if you've come across them. George Clark's a group who have badged particular qualifications which link to careers in the built environment. And there is the Design Engineer Construct qualification, which is really high quality, really good. So I'm hoping that we'll be able to signpost youngsters and their teachers to ways of engaging with the built environment further down the line. My ultimate aim is there will be a GCSE in the built environment. Just as there's one in business studies, why shouldn't there be one in built environment studies? It doesn't have to be a practical at that level, doesn't have to be a practical thing too much. I know you can, because there's actually a curriculum in Wales that's delivered at A level. So you can do that, and then there'll be a route for people to choose. But if they do that, they don't have to go into the built environment. They can use that degree to get into university with their UCAS points and go and study physics. But at least there's a way for people to pursue that. That's my ultimate aim. But meanwhile, we're trying to signpost as many other routes and other opportunities for people to find out more as we can.
And then just finally, I mean, just thinking then over the coming years, I mean, over what sort of time frame do you hope to see this sort of investment in schools really paying dividends in terms of improvements in diversity in the sector?
I hope it'll make a big difference quite quickly. I mean, we're aiming 15, 16-year-olds. They won't hit. There are level 3 apprenticeships you can do at 16. Most of them won't actually become qualified surveyors until their mid-20s at the earliest. So we're probably talking 10 years for that kind of activity. But I believe that actually there are a lot of people in between. So we can actually extend our programme to cover A-levels and take it down to below GCSE and do after-school clubs and stuff. But I'm focusing just on GCSEs now. But what I'm hoping to do is to try and engage the industry in trying to fix itself. And the one of the other challenges I know is down the line, especially with smaller companies, they're consultants, they have a fee target to hit, and so they've got to charge themselves out whatever a number of pounds per hour. And taking half a day out of that schedule to go and visit a school in some business models takes quite a step, quite a leap, and management have got to be on board for that. And what I'm hoping we'll do through this is enable businesses to see that actually this is a long-term investment. There's a surveyor company, a reasonably sized, high regard one in Abingdon, where I live, about 200 yards from here. And I went to see them to see if they would be involved. Not interested at the moment, but I'm hoping that next time we go around a cycle, they'll say, well, actually, we can send someone up to these local schools just to have a chat with the youngsters and tell them what they do. That support is going to be really valuable. And that's what I believe the millennials like to do, that kind of thing. They believe that they need to have a purpose to what they do. And so actually feeding back into that will motivate them. And we'll start to see that actually there are people in this. There are students studying geography at A-level now, at university now, who hadn't thought about surveying yet. And if we start to show there's a real sector here that's not just about construction, and there are opportunities for people who can see people of the same sex or orientation or colour of themselves, then they will start to feel that's the way they can go. So I'm hoping we'll start to see more benefit from it in that way, just by getting everybody in the sector pointing in the same direction, thinking we can support this and getting behind it. We'll have to create a bit of a movement. I'm a bit of an idealist on that. Create a bit of a movement in trying to get this thing so we can fix it for ourselves.
Terry, on that note, thank you very much indeed for your time, and we wish you all the very best with the launch.
Thank you very much, Sarah. I'll keep you posted.
Thank you. That was Bricks and Mortar from EG with Sarah Jackman. For more information on developing a career in real estate, see the archive of the Bricks and Mortar series at podbean.com and the EGI archive at egi.co.uk.